The Tennis Gambling Podcast on the Sports Game Podcast Network is brought to you by Nordic Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to 100 times your money in NBA, MMA, MLB, NHL, golf, and more. Sign up today on Nordic Fantasy using promo code SGPN to get a 100% deposit match. And welcome, everybody, to the Tennis Gambling Podcast here on the Sports Game Podcast Network. It is currently Tuesday, April 30th, very early Tuesday, April 30th, roughly 1:30 a.m. Eastern Time. I'm Rosso with Sky Rochelle, once again going solo for this pod. Should be a fun episode because it is time to actually preview the round of 16 in Madrid. So because of that, we are going to cover every match in the round. So all eight matches we're going to cover. I know that typically we cover the same overall format for every episode, especially in these Masters 1000 events where we cover some of the event of the matches early in the earlier rounds, and then we end up covering all of them as the rounds progress. So we're officially at that point where instead of covering some, we're covering all. So eight matches, strap in. We're going to cover each of them. Before we get into any of the actual recap, though, of the round of 32, do want to remind everybody once again to like and subscribe on YouTube. Also, remind everybody once again to rate and review the podcast on Spotify or Apple. Also need a favor from people listening to this on YouTube. We changed thumbnails for the actual episode, so I actually want people to leave a comment down below if you like the old thumbnails or you like the new thumbnails more. So that's just something that's going to take a quick second or two. Just let me know down below if you like the new thumbnail or the old one. We're trying something new stylistically, so hopefully you end up enjoying it either way. But keep me posted, because feedback is always good. Also, a reminder to check out the SGPN merch store to support the show, because we have Tennis Gambling Podcast merch. We have shirts. We have mugs. A lot of great merchandise for the tennis show. So once again, make sure you check out the merch store. And we also have great merchandise for other shows on the network, because SGPN does have a bunch of other phenomenal podcasts, 20-plus gambling podcasts with the network, and it is playoff time, so make sure to tune in all week to the NBA show and the NHL show for episodes to get you locked in, or sorry, the hockey show, the hockey gambling podcast and the NBA gambling podcast for episodes to get you locked in for exciting playoff action. Plus, it is Derby Week on the Sports Game Podcast, so tune in as they will get you ready with the most exciting for the most exciting 2 minutes in sports. Now, to start off with the actual recap of the last episode, for the round of 32, we swept. So definitely a much needed sweep. We had a pretty rough week last week, so nice to get back on track here. For the lock, we had Shelton, first set games, -1.5 at -125 against Bublik. Bublik once again continues his miraculous escape act, because he lost the first set again and he ended up winning the match, but he did lose the first set 6-3. So nice winner there, as Bublik once again got out to a very slow start and he could not recover. So nice job there by Shelton for us. For the dog, ended up back in the head-to-head trend there, took the over 2.5 sets in the Korda and Medvedev match at +135. Pretty standard. Every head-to-head meeting between them has been the same. Very competitive. And you end up seeing Medvedev win that one in three. Not a shocker, though. I, once again, kind of called that match to a T. I thought Medvedev would win in three, and he did. But either way, ended up sweeping the lock and dog picks, which was much needed. And hopefully we end up doing so once again here for the round of 16. Moving on to the actual... I want to make one more announcement before we actually start the preview of the round of 16. Not going to take too long. Want to apologize to all of the listeners of the show, either on YouTube or Spotify or Apple, because I know the episodes have come out late. And I do know that the tournament in Madrid, the actual schedule, starts at 5 a.m. And I'm recording now at 1:30 a.m. So I am aware I'm not giving you much time to actually listen to this if you are in America, basically, on the East Coast. However, in my defense, I am still a big sports fan. And the Lakers played the Nuggets and Jamal Murray hit a game-winning jump shot. So I'm a fan. And if I get caught up watching some sporting events occasionally, I know it's unprofessional, but at least I'm going to be honest with it. I'm a big sports fan. If there's a sporting event on and I'm drawn to it, I will potentially delay recording just to watch a sporting event. Now, that's something I can improve on. I'm aware of it. Apologies once again if you do have a hard time listening to the show before the matches start. I'll try to get better at it, I promise. It is playoff time, though, so as a fan, I'm kind of automatically distracted. And it was a great game. So apologies there, but that's why the episode's coming out so late. Not a good answer, but it's an honest answer. The NBA playoffs were kind of crazy last night, and the Nuggets beat the Lakers. But either way, time to get into the actual preview of the round of 16 matches in Madrid. Starting off with the first match on the slate, you have Bublik taking on Medvedev in a match that should be fun. Medvedev, decent favorite. about minus 480. Bublik is plus 390. As for the over-under, you have 21.5 games. The spread is at 4.5 in favor of Medvedev. For set wagering, Bublik to win a set is plus 115. Medvedev to win in straight sets is minus 145. Over 2.5 sets is set at plus 165. Now, for this matchup, Medvedev has owned the head-to-head. He's won every meeting. Actually, no, first I got to recap what happened in the matches, actually, on Monday. I'll do that very quickly. Nothing too shocking. Apologies, I forgot about the recap. Bublik beat Shelton in 3. Lehecka beat Montero in straight sets, which I thought would happen, a plus 150. Medvedev beat Korda in 3. I had that. I thought Nadal would win in straight sets, and he ended up winning in 3. Long match, though. Took 3-plus hours. We'll see how he responds physically. Mensik got killed, and then he ended up retiring, so you might have gotten a refund if you had Mensik moneyline, if you took it on a book that gives you refunds. All spread bets and total bets, though, were refunded. Rude beat Nori in straight sets, had that. Sinner beat Kotov in straight sets, had that. Bit of drama, though, as Sinner was battling an injury, and he might actually withdraw from the event, so keep an eye out for that. And Kashanov beat Kaboli in straight sets. Kaboli should have won a set in there. Thought the match was competitive, but Kashanov did get it done in straight sets. So overall, good episode for us. Apologies, though, I forgot about the recap. Moving back to the actual round of 16. So looking at the first matchup, the head-to-head's been owned by Medvedev, historically speaking, and he's actually never lost. They faced off, I believe it is 3 times? It might be 4. But Medvedev, it's actually 6 times. Apologies. Faced off 6 times, and Medvedev's never lost to him. In fact, they faced off 1 time on clay back in the French Open in 2021, and Medvedev did win in 3 sets. But yeah, he has only dropped 1 set. He has won in straight sets in 5 of the 6 head-to-head meetings. Only exception was in Toronto back in 2021, where Medvedev did win in 3. So historically, it does make sense why Medvedev's a massive favorite at about minus 480. But it's on clay. Both guys are not very great on clay, and things might get weird. I like the over 2.5 sets, actually. I'm going to go against the head-to-head trend here. I just think with both guys being uncomfortable, both guys have been involved in some marathons. Bublik went to 3 sets against Baena and Shelton. You saw Medvedev go to 3 sets against Arnaldi and Korda. Both guys have been very up and down so far. The problem is both guys have lost the first set in their matches. So something's going to have to give here, and we'll see how it goes. But if you do want to go with the long shot prop bet of the match, I am going to mention it. Medvedev to win the first set and Bublik to win the match is 13-1. Now, I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm not as confident in this one as I was in the Varius one against Hurkacz back in the French Open, which was like 9-1. 13-1, I think, is a pretty appealing option there. If you think Bublik once again punts the first set and forces a third set, if you get to 3 sets, you can hedge. You can just hedge at that point, but 13-1 for Bublik to lose the first set and win the match, I do find quite appealing. Is it going to win? Probably not. I'll be honest with you, but I do think 13-1, throw it in a long shot parlay, put a future on something, maybe the NFL, maybe you want to bet on the NBA title, bet something, but I think it's a decent long shot parlay option if you want to go for some type of wild choice, but DraftKings has it at 13-1. I definitely do not mind that price. I like the over, though. I think both guys are not really trustworthy on clay. Both guys can be up and down, and I do think that Bublik can maybe shorten the points of the drop shots and force Medvedev to actually play a bit unorthodox compared to just standing behind the baseline rallying the entire time. So I am going to lean to Bublik to make it interesting. I don't mind the plus 4.5. I'm going to take the over 2.5 sets. If Medvedev wins in straight sets, would I be shocked? No, but I do think there's some value, and I do think this line is too high, especially when each guy has been involved in 2 marathons apiece in the first 2 matches for their respective tournament runs. So for that one, give me the over, and give me Bublik plus the games. Moving on to the next one, you have Greeksport taking on Rublev. Rublev minus 225. Greeksport is plus 195. For the game spread, Rublev is minus 2.5. Greeksport plus 2.5. For the actual over-under, 23.5. For the set wagering, over 2.5 sets is plus 140. Greeksport to win a set is minus 145. And Rublev to win in straight sets is plus 115. Now, Rublev was awful for the last couple of events, but then he showed up here and he's been pretty good. So they faced off 2 times in the head-to-head, by the way. Rublev won both meetings in 3 sets, 1 on hard court and 1 on grass, both of them being last year. So I don't really know if I can take much away from that because it was recent, but there was not on clay. So you can argue that that might be useful or might not be useful. Greeksport has been winning marathons and then beating Daniel in 3 and beat Rune in three. As for Rublev, he's been coasting, ended up beating Bagnus in straight sets and Bifokina in straight sets. Definitely not easy. Was down 5-0 in that first set breaker. Came back and he pulled it off. But the point is, I do think you might see a marathon here. Greek Sport's been up and down. Rublev's the best player that Greek Sport's going to face in this event so far. Once again, a pretty... I think he's better than Rune. You could argue on clay maybe Rune's better, but I would probably lean Rublev. So I think that it's definitely a good win for Greek Sport against Rune, but it might be a little bit of a step up there. I do think it's going to go three sets, though, just based on how Rublev was kind of fortunate to not drop a set against Fokina and how we have seen Greek Sport involved in some marathons. So I don't mind the over 2.5 sets at +140. We've seen the head-to-head once again between them. Go to three sets in both meetings, not on clay, but still, these guys have gone together. They've been competitive. It's been up and down. Give me history to repeat itself once again at +140. Moving on to the next match, we're going to look at a matchup between Fritz and Hurkacz, and what should be a fun matchup. Fritz is a slight favorite, about -130. Hurkacz is +110. For the game spread, Fritz -1.5, Hurkacz +1.5. Overrun for games is set at around 24.5. The over 2.5 sets is around +120, +125. Fritz to win in straight sets is +190. Hurkacz to win in straight sets is +260. Now, Fritz is up in the head-to-head. I believe it's 3-1, if I remember correctly. It is 3-1. None of the meetings were on clay. They had three meetings on hard court, and they had one meeting on grass back in 2019. One meeting last year, though, it was in the United Cup, and Fritz did win 7-6, 7-6. Faced off in another competition in 2022, and Fritz won 7-6, 7-5. The point is, you can usually expect a decent amount of breakers with these two guys, because both guys are still very good at serving. The problem is, on clay, we have seen both guys look pretty sharp in the return games, and you might end up seeing maybe one break of serve, but not many. Fritz killed Baez. Baez can't serve. He had a close matchup there against Arderi, 7-6, 6-4. As for Hurkacz, he ended up beating Draper, and he beat Altmaier in a competitive match there, 6-4, 7-6. So I think you're looking at a spot where both guys are going to serve well. The question is, do I expect it to go to three sets? I don't really see much value on it. If you're going to talk about under 2.5 sets being -145, I'd rather take that if I had a choice. Expecting each guy to split the first two sets is not exactly a phenomenal option when the price is so cheap. The reason why I take them as dogs is because the under is like -180, -170. And at that point, you're getting a good number. But if the over is +115 at some spots and the under is -125, give me straight sets of -145, just based on a lean there. I just think that price feels a little bit off. For the games, I'd have to lean over. If I had to pick anything, I would lean to Fritz to win the match. I just think Fritz is better on clay between the two of them. Hurkacz, though, did win a clay title. He has been solid in this event, but I see a close match. Probably is going to be very competitive, but I feel better based on the value on the over 2.5 sets. And if you go to two breakers, might have to sweat it out, but it's definitely a lot easier to take an under 2.5 sets at -145 than an over 2.5 sets at +115. So give me the under 2.5 sets just based on the price, but I am going to lean to Fritz on the money line at -130. Moving on to the next matchup, you have a matchup between you have a pretty lopsided matchup, at least on paper, as you have Zverev, who's around -450, and Cerundolo, who's +360. Zverev, though, for the games is -4.5. Cerundolo +4.5. The over-under for total games is 21.5. For the set wagering, the over 2.5 sets is +175. Zverev to win in straight sets is -145. Cerundolo to win a set is +115. Cerundolo has had a pretty shaky start to 2024, but he has looked good in this event, as he ended up winning in straight sets against... Won in straight sets against Moroz, and then won in three against Paul. So good wins there. Not exactly elite clay competition, but not his problem. Still a nice win. A set of wins, I should say. Zverev, though, has been solid. Beat George comfortably, 6-3, 6-2, and he ended up beating Chapo, who was in pretty good form, 6-4, 7-5. Head-to-head between them doesn't exist. First ever head-to-head meeting. I'm going to take Zverev in straight sets. I just think he's too, I'd say, consistent. Cerundolo has the game to definitely take a set off of Zverev, but the unforced error count might get up there, and Zverev can turn into a wall at times, especially on clay. I think Zverev is a very good clay player. It's why we took him to win this event as our long shot. I think Cerundolo is going to struggle to, I'd say, outlast Zverev in these long rallies, and I do think eventually, if things go poorly for Cerundolo, it might snowball. We've seen that before, and I'm concerned about his inability to maintain his composure when things go against him. And Zverev is not a guy you want to go against on clay when you have a hard time keeping your nerve. And I do think that he's going to struggle in that area. So the first set, I think, will be competitive, maybe a breaker. But if Zverev does win that first set, I can see Cerundolo rolling over. So I'll go with Zverev in what I think will be two competitive sets. I really do see maybe like a 7-5 or 7-6 in the first set. So I guess I'm leaning to the games for Cerundolo plus 4.5. But I think that Cerundolo keeps this within the number. Give me Zverev to win, but I do think the value is on Cerundolo plus 4.5 if I had to guess it. I think straight sets, though. So that's kind of where I land on that one. Give me a competitive straight set win for the favorite. Moving on to the next matchup, you have Kachanov taking on Sinner in a match that may not happen. So Sinner is a decent favorite, minus 460. Kachanov is plus 370. As for the game spread, Sinner is minus 4.5. Kachanov is plus 4.5. Over under set of 21.5 games. Sinner to win in straight sets is minus 155. Kachanov to win a set is plus 125. Over 2.5 sets is plus 190. Now, the reason why I mention that Sinner might not end up playing in this event is because of what happened in the second set against Kotov. He was down a lot in that second set, came back and won the second set 7-5, but he did state in the post-match press conference that his hip bothered him again, and it appears that he injured his hip while working out, and apparently he re-aggravated it. So Sinner said him and his team are going to talk about it, and he might not play. Those are his exact words. Sinner is a phenomenal player. He's lost two matches now the entire year. I do think he's going to sit this match out, and I think he's going to withdraw. There are more important events on the horizon. Sinner just won his first Grand Slam title in the Australian Open. He will be one of the favorites in the French Open. I don't care how many matches Nadal wins in Madrid. He's not winning the French Open again. Point is, Sinner should potentially rest if his hip is bothering him, and I do think he's going to err on the side of caution. So I do think this match will not get played. So that's kind of my initial take, which makes me not really want to talk about the match at all. For the sake of the match, though, I am going to lean to Kachanov, though, solely on the premise of Sinner being injured. So try to find angles that actually will be graded if that ends up happening and then Sinner withdraws afterwards. So maybe consider first set options. Maybe if you want to go Kachanov to win a set, and that way if he does win a set, then you automatically get paid and don't have to sweat out anything else. So that could be an option. But I do think Sinner is not going to show up. I think he's going to withdraw from the event, just based on some of the quotes that he had. Seemed like he could play if he needed to. If it was a Grand Slam match, he would play. But he's also smart, and his team's smart. I think him and Cahill will get together, and I think they'll decide it's not in his best interest to play in this match. So I see Sinner withdrawing. So just keep that in mind. So keep an eye out for maybe Kachanov to win a quarter. I might take that personally, but I do not think Sinner's going to show up. And I do want to find the quotes just so I can quote him verbatim. I think I did a pretty good job paraphrasing, but just to actually make sure that I wasn't forgetting anything, let me just make sure that I didn't forget something, but I'm pretty sure I hit that on the nose. Sinner indirectly said he's a bit concerned about the hip, does not confirm he will play tomorrow, says he will decide what's best in a good mood. It's not a new pain or injury. It was related to extra work in the gym. So he might play. He might not. I'll take a flyer on Kachanov. If you end up using a book that grades moneyline wagers as a win, if one full set is completed, I would consider taking that too. Now, if it gets voided, that's fine. You're taking a random flyer on a potential free roll. So I don't mind that, but that's how I'm leaning to this match. I think Sinner will withdraw from the event. But you might want to start looking at some Kachanov futures if you do think Sinner drops, because you might find yourself a very good future price to win one match. Once again, if you take Kachanov to win the quarter, his odds will be high because he's against Sinner. But if Sinner drops, Kachanov has to win one match to win his quarter. So that might be a very sneaky outright to look for if Sinner ends up quitting. So keep that in mind, but that is going to be my sneaky option for that matchup. So my option is going to be Kachanov to win the quarter, actually, if you can find a price on that. I do think Sinner is going to drop out. If he doesn't, he kills Kachanov, is what it is. It's worth the effort. I think it's worth the long shot. It's worth the gamble, as far as I'm concerned. Because if Sinner drops, Kachanov's odds are going to plummet. especially in the future markets, so keep an eye out for that. Moving on to the next match, you have a rematch of the final last year. You have Alcaraz taking on Struff. Alcaraz minus 4, Struff is plus 4 for the money line. Alcaraz minus 600, Struff is plus 460. For the over-under, 21.5 games for the set wagering, Struff to win a set is plus 110. Alcaraz in straight sets is minus 140, and the over 2.5 sets is plus 165. Said before, they faced off in the final here last year, and Alcaraz did win in 3. They have faced off 3 times, though, twice on clay. Struff actually beat Alcaraz on clay in Roland Garros back in 2021. Then Alcaraz beat Struff on grass in 5 sets, and then Alcaraz ended up beating Struff in 3 in the final in Madrid last year. Alcaraz, though, for a guy that was missing some time with injury, has looked really good. Beat Shevchenko 6-2, 6-1. Beat Seabold Wild 6-3, 6-3. Could have been a bagel there. Then the second set got a bit more competitive, but the point is Alcaraz was on cruise control in those 2 matches. Struff's been good, too, though. Beat Munar in straight sets and ended up beating Humbert in straight sets. Tough match to call, just based on how good Alcaraz has been. I don't see much value. I would lean to the over. I think that Struff can force a breaker. He's a very good server, after all. So if you end up getting a 7-6 in there, you're in very good shape to cash an over, because 21.5 games means a 7-6, 6-3 still gets you to 22. So because of that, I think my main play will be the over on games. I don't want the sets, though. I think Alcaraz can win this in straight sets, but I do think Struff will be able to keep it competitive because of the serve and the head-to-head. So give me Struff to keep it competitive, but I will go with the over 21.5 games as my main actual lean in that matchup. Moving on to the next match, you have Ruud taking on Felix. Ruud's a massive favorite, but minus 367. You have Felix at around plus 297 for the actual game spread. Ruud plus 4, Ruud minus 4, I mean, and Felix plus 4. Over-under for game is set at 22 flat. For the set wagering, Ruud in straight sets is minus 115. Felix to win a sets minus 115, and over 2.5 sets is plus 165. Now, I'm going to go with Ruud. Simply put, Felix has been fine. He faced off against an injured player on Monday, so we got to keep an eye out for Mensik in the future, because his durability might be a bit in question, because after the long match against Dimitrov, he immediately had nothing left in the tank, and he got killed. So maybe you might want to keep an eye out for fading Mensik in the future until he improved his durability. Point is, though, Felix kind of had a bye in the last 2 rounds, beat an injured Mensik and beat Mannarino, who's not very good on clay, and he won in 3 sets against Nishioka. Ruud's been dominant, beat Nori in straight sets, beat Kecmanovic in straight sets, won the entire Barcelona tournament in straight sets, made the final in Monte Carlo. Ruud is just on the warpath right now. I'm taking Ruud in straight sets. I think Felix hasn't really played anybody. It's a massive step up in competition, and I do think he's in line for a wake-up call. By him, I mean Felix. Give me Ruud in straight sets at minus 115. Moving on to the last match on the card, you have the most interesting match to some on the card. You have Laheshka taking on Nadal. Both guys are minus 110 for the actual total. Over-under set at 22.5 games for the spread. You have Nadal or Laheshka around minus 1 or plus 1 either way. Shop around, you can find a good line. Laheshka in straight sets is plus 190. Nadal to win in straight sets is plus 220. The over 2.5 sets is set at plus 145. Simply put, for this matchup, I'm going to fade Nadal. I am going to go with Laheshka. They might be wondering why I would want to fade Nadal after pulling off a nice win against Kachin and after making it to the 4th round, to the surprise of many, in this event. Main reason, I mentioned it for the last episode, why I picked Nadal to win in straight sets, even though it didn't happen. The beauty of these Masters 1000 events and the Grand Slam events are the days off in between the matches and the first couple rounds, because there are so many matches to be played. No days off for Nadal is a really brutal scheduling spot, especially when Laheshka has won in straight sets the first 2 matches, beat Medvedev in straight sets, and beat Montero in straight sets. So in the match on Monday, in that matchup against Montero, to go through the actual time on court, Laheshka was only on the court for 1:53, so he was on the court for less than 2 hours, which is a pretty solid amount of time for him in order to recover physically for the round of 16 match. As for Nadal, he had a marathon. His match against Kachin had a 6-1 set in there, and it still took 3-plus hours, so Nadal in that match, did he look good? Not really, simply put. I thought Kachin was abysmal when it comes to serving. Nadal could not serve either. It was an absolute break fest. That's the problem that I have. Nadal's serve is going to be a serious problem for him in this match. He ended up landing 78% of the first serves. He had zero aces, and he also got broken four times. Now, Katchen got broken nine times, so Katchen's serve was absolutely terrible. But Nadal having no aces and only winning he won 64% of the first serve points, which is not great. 35%, though, of the second serve points. I think Nadal's serve isn't good enough. And I think his fatigue is going to be a serious problem with no days off in between. 3+ hours watching Nadal, you could tell he just doesn't look great. Now, I know he beat him an hour. I understand that he is not expected to look like his old self. But I do think it is warranted to kind of be skeptical of Nadal in this matchup if it gets into a deep second set or a deep third set. 3+ hours and no days off, you can tell Nadal's movement isn't as good as it used to be. The serve isn't that good. And Laheshka has a really, really good serve. The problem that I have here for Nadal is what happens if he starts to slow down midway through the match. I just think Laheshka is going to hit through him. I think that Laheshka has the firepower to force Nadal into some awkward defensive points, and I do think that he will be able to force Nadal into hitting some unforced errors and to also potentially struggle to actually cover the court. So with that being the case, I think Laheshka should get a lot of break points in this match. I think Nadal will get some, obviously, being a great returner and all. But I like the actual spot here for Laheshka. He's younger. He should be more rested. And I do think Nadal, with the no days off, might be running on fumes here. And with that being the case, make sure you bet on a book that will pay you if there is a retirement mid-match. I don't think you need it, though. Nadal said this would be the final time he's going to be playing in Madrid, so you might end up seeing him tough it out if he gets injured solely because it's the last time he'll be here in Madrid, according to him. So I don't know if you actually need the retirement clause in there to get paid anyway, but you always want to be safe than sorry. I think Laheshka wins, though, simply put, and as a result, I am going to go with him at a pretty cheap price. Moving on to the actual lock and dog picks, because we finished covering all the matches. For any of the actual lock and dog picks, though, I do want to remind everybody once again that we are brought to you by Underdog Fantasy, because Underdog Fantasy is the easiest way to play fantasy sports, and the NBA playoffs are here, so our sponsor Underdog Fantasy wants to make it a lot more interesting by playing their pick'em game. It's as simple as selecting a higher or lower on player stats like points, rebounds, assists, and so much more. Make entries of all basketball or mix and match across your favorite sports. You can win 200 times your money, and it is a ton of fun. Underdog's available in a lot of different states, 30-plus states to be exact, and that includes California, Texas, and even Canada. They also have a lot of great options for tennis. They have double faults, they have aces, they have breaks of serve. A lot of fun, unique angles to potentially consider when you are looking to find a way to make tennis viewing more interesting. But a reminder, new customers do get a pick'em special in the lobby when they sign up. Underdogs will also be running a ton of fun promos, bonus cash airdrops, specials, giveaways, and more throughout the NBA playoffs. So make sure to follow at Underdog Picks on Twitter. That's at Underdog Picks to keep an eye out. Underdogs available in 30-plus states, including California, Texas, and Canada. And they just launched Champions, their player versus player format, in Florida. So make sure to use the promo code SGPN, and Underdog will double your deposit of $100. So Underdog Fantasy, promo code SGPN. Welcome back, everyone, to the Tennis Gambling Podcast. Just finished previewing the round of 16 matches here in Madrid. Now it is time for the actual lock and dog picks for the show. Starting off with the lock, I am going to go back to the last match, actually. I'm going with Laheshka on the money line at minus 110. Watching that Nadal match, it feels like a really good spot to fade Nadal. He looked like he was really struggling physically in various portions of that match. The second set should have been pretty straightforward for Katchen, but he kept choking before eventually winning in the breaker. Nadal, though, with really a weak first serve and an abysmal second serve, I just think Laheshka is going to manufacture enough breaks to win this thing. His serve has been great so far in the event. I know Nadal's a great returner, but Laheshka can really, I'd say, put a lot of pressure on Nadal and force him to play extremely defensive just based on how much firepower Laheshka has. He has good rallying skills. He's a good volleyer. I do think Laheshka is going to struggle in some points of this match, but the longer it goes, the better his chance is, and I really don't see Nadal mopping the floor with him. Maybe Nadal can have a nice recovery, and maybe he'll look okay early on. He had a 6-1 set against Katchen. But as the match progressed, Nadal quickly, and I mean quickly, got worse. And it was pretty noticeable. And the only reason why he won is because Katchen is really not a great player, simply put. I know Katchen won a clay title last year, but watching him play, Katchen can't serve, and that was the story of the match. But I think Laheshka will use his firepower to get the job done. He has not been on the court that long. He has not dropped a set yet. And I mentioned it before, but I'll say it again, because from this point, I really just cannot overstate it. First day with no rest for Nadal. So I mentioned it with some of the older guys, and not just Nadal. If you want to back an older player, like an Agut, or you want to go with a Murray, any of these guys, you want to back them in the first couple rounds because there are off-day schedules, so they should be fresh physically. Now there's no day off. I think Nadal's going to struggle after playing 3-plus hours. Give me Laheshka money line at minus 110 as my lock. For my dog, I think I am going to go with a pretty interesting matchup between Rublev and between Griekspoor. And for this one, I like the over. I just think 2.5 sets at a pretty good price of plus 140 is pretty appealing. I think you're looking at a spot where both guys have been competitive in the head-to-head, as each of the two head-to-head meetings have gone to 3 sets. But you're looking at how these matches have played out so far in the event for both guys, and you can see a pretty obvious pattern for Griekspoor. He's been going the distance a lot, went to 3 sets against Daniel, went to 3 sets against Rune, and he had an off day, so he should be pretty rested for this match. As for Rublev, he's won in straight sets in the first 2 rounds, but he really should have lost the set to Davidovich Fokina, because he was down 5-0 in that first set breaker, and he ended up fighting off a couple of set points. So Rublev should have dropped the set there, and I do think Griekspoor is a pretty solid comp in terms of overall skill compared to Fokina. So because of that, give me the over 2.5 sets here at plus 140 as my dog. So once again, my picks for the show, the lock's going to be on Laheshka money line at minus 110. My dog will be on Griekspoor and Rublev over 2.5 sets at plus 140. Let me just quickly fix that one. Forgot to write sets in there. So that's my dog over 2.5 sets in the Griekspoor Rublev match at plus 140. That's going to wrap it up, though, for this episode. A reminder, you can find me on Twitter at Rice Show Radio. Reminder, for the next episode, we'll be covering the quarterfinals. So back once again, it will be an earlier time. I'm not going to make it miserable for all of you trying to stay up late in order to actually find out my picks right before the matches. I know it's not fair to you guys. I'll try to do a better job. Apologies there. Besides that, though, find me on the NBA show, find me on the MLB show, and find me on the WNBA show when that season starts up in May. Until next time, though, good luck to all of you and all of your bets. Bye, everyone.